a little review. Three things. One of them, because of Shalini's question yesterday about, I wasn't really sure what the question was about, but there are the six darshans, and I said I would research that, so I did. So I'm going to share a little bit what Srila Prabhupada has written and what Bhaktisiddhanta has written about the six darshans. It's off topic, so I don't really want to have a discussion about the off topic topic. But I'll share something just because it came up and it'll add some clarity. That's one thing we'll do. I want to review the last part of what we discussed yesterday because it's a little subtle and it's important. So we'll review that. 15.3 and 0.4. And for those of you that are note takers, get your pens and notebook ready. We've been discussing, like repeatedly, about Vyasadeva taking the one Veda and dividing it into four. And we hear it all the time. So there's two places of reference in the Bhagavatam. First Canto, chapter 4, verses 21 and 22. I'm not going to read them, but you can look it up later. And Canto 12, chapter 6, verses 52 and 53. So it has to do with this chart that we keep showing you again and again. This box over here, this has the names of the four Vedas. It doesn't have the names of who Vyasadeva put in charge, but we yesterday discussed about one of them, the Yajurveda. And that's the person in charge that Vyasadeva assigned to the Yajurveda was Vaishampaina. And then there's the Rig Veda. That's, Veda number 2. And Paila Rishi, Vyasadeva placed in charge of that one. You'll find same Canto 1, Chapter 4, Canto 12, Chapter 6, same list. And then number 3 was Sama Veda. We discussed a little bit about Sama Veda. Mentioned that in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, amongst the Vedas, I am Sama Veda. So amongst the four, it's especially melodious, especially sweet sounding, and as we heard about the Chatur Hotras, the four types of priests that are necessary in a Vedic Yajna, the priests that are involved with Samaveda, they invoke the Lord Vishnu, the Bhokta of the Yajna, the beneficiary of the Yajna. Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5. The person that Vyasadeva put in charge of Samaveda, very interesting, was Jaimini. Samaveda is the best amongst the Vedas. He put Jaimini in charge. And one of these six over here, that's an atheistic darshan, was propounded by Jaimini. Very curious. Vaishampaina killed the Brahmana, and Jaimini composed a doctrine that's atheistic. My goodness. They didn't take up Purusham Purnam Apashyat Purusham Purnam. We know what Purnam means because we've been speaking about, you know, the Puranas comes from the root word Purnam. And Purnam means complete. So Purusham Purnam means the complete Purusha, Krishna. So where's Radharani in that picture? He says, she's implied. And he uses this example. Just like if you say, two nights ago we saw the full moon. You don't say, oh, and by the way, I also saw the moonshine. You know, the effulgence around the moon. It's implied if you see the full moon. You also see the effulgence around the moon. You don't have to say it. It's implied. It's implicit. Purusham Purnam. Vyasadeva saw Radha and Krishna. And for that matter, Radha and Krishna aren't alone. They're in the spiritual world. He saw the spiritual world. Just in that little, you know, Purusham Purnam. You know, he's Govardhan Hill and River Jamuna and cows and kalpa vriksha trees and peacocks. He said the whole thing. Saw the whole thing. Purusham Purnam. Just unpack it. He saw the whole thing. Goloka Vrindavan Kijai. Purusham Purnam. The Lord's form, the Lord's abode, the Lord's associates, everything. Radharani, Purusham Purnam. You know, just compact. So, in Vyasadeva's, this little box over here on the left, Vyasadeva's commentary on the Upanishads in the form of Vedanta Sutra. Why the Upanishads? Because it's the philosophical portion. Over here, there's four boxes. And at the bottom is the Upanishads that explains these guys. And these guys say, you know, how you do a yajna. And this says, that's what the yajna is about. What's the yajna about? Finding Brahman. Finding the absolute truth. So, when Brahman is used, it implies Bhagavan. So that's consistently, with some exception, Prabhupada, when speaking of the six darshans, and there aren't exceptions with both Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta, Vyasadeva is one of the six darshans. So when Jiva Goswami went to Benares to study the six darshans, he learned Vedanta Sutra, but he learned it from Madhusudana Vachaspati, who was a Gaudiya Vaishnava, or he was a student of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, so he understood. But the Gaudiya understanding, but he also understood the other one, because before Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, what was he? He was a Mayavadi. He was up there. He had thousands of Mayavad sannyasi students and disciples. And he was teaching them, you know, all that stuff. You know, for 7 days, explaining Vedanta Sutra. 7 days explaining Vedanta Sutra to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It wasn't, you know, Lord Chaitanya's teachings. It was his, you know, this other thing. So, Shankaracharya knew both. Madhusudana Vachaspati knew both because he was a student of... And, to know one, it's helpful to know what the one isn't. That's kind of what Jiva Goswami is doing. You know, the Purvapaksha fellow is saying what, you know, the right understanding isn't. And then... You say the right understanding, the wrong understanding, and you say why it isn't the right understanding. It's inclusive and exclusive. That's like thorough. That's Jiva Goswami, systematic and comprehensive. So now, there's five more. And, you know, it's, I'm going to need my reading glasses. I'm going to read to you two things. There's many quotes, but, you know, time isn't going to permit the many quotes. And it's besides, it's not Tathasangarbha exactly. But it's from our discussion yesterday. So, sometimes, instead of Vyasadeva's teaching, sometimes Srila Prabhupada would include Ashtavakra as number six. I'll read. This is from Bhagavatam 117, purport. Besides Vyasadeva, there are other sages who authored six different philosophical systems. Namely, everybody's named except Vyasa, and this, the sixth one is Ashtavakra. Ashtavakra. Theism is explained completely in Vedanta Sutra, whereas in the other systems of philosophical speculations, practically no mention is given to the ultimate cause of all causes, and thus atheistic. You know, like one of them, one of those boxes is Vaisheshika or Kanada, and their doctrine is the same thing as modern science. You know, or say it the other way. Modern science has borrowed from Vaisheshika and Kanada. And it's that what is everything? Everything is atoms. The basis of everything is atoms. You know, what's spiritual? We don't talk, you know, who can say what spiritual is? There's atoms. And combinations of atoms makes everything. You know, mechanistic science. There's only one thing. There's matter. The basis of them is the smallest particle, divisible particle of matter, atoms, and laws that govern them. And there isn't anything else. What's life? It's a combination of atoms. Matter combining according to the laws of nature. Where did it all come from? It came from atoms. What's the source of everything? Don't give us this, you know, God is the source of everything business. All there is atoms. All there is material nature. That's it. There isn't a second thing. Prove me wrong. Where's the falsifiability? Prove me wrong. Right? That's the program. That's what they do. Okay. Now, otherwise, besides, right in the same first canto, chapter 17, Prabhupada deletes Ashtavakra. And Ashtavakra, by the way, had a teaching very similar to Shankaracharya, or conversely. Shankaracharya's teaching is very similar to Ashtavakra's teaching, which is a philosophized Brahman, which means really Brahman isn't there. It's just, it's more Buddhism, voidism, philosophized Brahman, not real substance Brahman. Anyway, 117:18 purport, Ashtavakra disappears from the list and Vyasadeva appears on the list of six, just like our chart here. And then again in Chaitanya Charitamrita, etc. Now, here's another reference from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 25, verse 56. I'll circulate this at the end along with the PowerPoints. You don't need to take notes if you don't want to. Here's the six. Prabhupada breaks them down. Number one. Well, the last one he places is Vedanta. Vyas. Mimamsaka. So in that chart, it's Jaimini. And what the chart says is that Jaimini is known for hermeneutics. What's hermeneutics? for the fourth time. Hermeneutics is interpreting scriptural texts. What are rules for what you accept as a scriptural evidence? How you interpret them? You know, the application that we spoke about was when a person like Srila Prabhupada or others who are a Vaidushika Pratyaksha person, they can see transcendence. When they speak about matter, is that also to be considered scripture? You know, Shabda Praman or not? Oh, I know what my conviction is, but hermeneutics looks at that and says, how do you place a statement like that? Is it the same as, you know, Narayana said? Or Krishna says, and it's in the Shrutis, or it's in the Shrutis and Smritis. Is it the same, or is it not the same? That's hermeneutics. And Jaimini did that. And somehow, in the course of Jaimini's doing what he did, the absolute truth disappeared. Here's Prabhupada's writing. The Mimamsaka philosophers, following the principles of Jaimini, now it may be his followers pulled this interesting idea together, but in any case, they stress fruitive activity, karma, exactly what Krishna spoke to his father, which means it was present at Krishna's time, because he spoke it. Karma Mimamsa philosophy. What is that? If there is a God, he must be under the laws of fruitive activity. You know, karma rules, and God is subordinate to the law of karma. No, God or not God. It may be just karma rules, or maybe there's a God that measures out and gives people their karma. Either way you want to look at it, karma rules. What's supreme karma? Do good work, everything's nice. Don't do good work, you got to have a problem. You don't want problems, do good work. That's it. Not so dissimilar from what we heard Jiva Goswami said that Buddhists say. Just, you know, what is truth? Truth is right action in all spheres of life, gross and subtle, time and space, consistently performed. That's truth. Just do good work. Just do good work. That's truth. Not so dissimilar. Notice that God isn't in the picture in Karma Mimamsa philosophy. And that's exactly what Krishna said to his father. You don't need to worship Indra. You need to worship. But if you want to worship, you know, Govardhan Hill, let's go worship Govardhan Hill. So, if one strictly follows moral principles, one will be recognized by the Lord, who will give the desired reward. Such philosophers do not accept the Vedic principle of bhakti yoga. The means to achieve, it's gone, the goal is gone, just do good work. Instead, they stress following one's prescribed duty. So that's a doctrine, that's a darshan, it's one of those six. Two, atheistic Sankhya philosophers like Kapila, he's in the far right corner over there. Atheistic Kapila analyzed the material elements very scrutinizingly and thereby come to the conclusion that material nature is the cause of everything. It's, you know, close to, not the same as this Vaisheshika model. The Vaisheshika model is the atoms. Here's more, you know, nature and the laws of nature. They do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the cause of all causes. Sounds familiar. Nyaya. That's one, another one of the boxes that's in this chart. Which one is it? It's number three, Nyaya, which deals with epistemology. We've been hearing that term during this seminar. Epistemology is another, is an English word for pramana, which means the means of knowing something. So Nyaya has rules of logic, because their idea, or Gotama's idea, was if you want to know, if you want to approach the Vedas, that column on the left, how do you access it? By Nyaya, by logic. Now Vyasa says, no, Tarka Apratishta. There's no foundation or basis. There was nothing conclusive about Nyaya, because someone with stronger logic come along and break down the previous guy's logic and then put up another one and put his arms across his chest and say, prove me wrong. Falsifiability, please. Can't do it. It stands. Nyaya. Based on, of course, we make the rules of logic. So, you know, that was his contribution to atheism. And, you know, by logic you can't conclude there must be God, so it's just logic. You go to the Vedas and you get philosophy of knowledge including logic. That's what it says in box number 3. Here's Prabhupada. Nyaya philosophers like Gotama and Kanada, of course it's a little mixed up here, because Kanada goes over there under Vaisheshika. But anyway, here in this list, this is Chaitanya Charitamrita, by the way, here Prabhupada includes Ashtavakra. Mayavad philosophies say everything is an illusion. You know, we know the aphorism. Brahman, Satya. Jagat, Mithya. It's false. What is this? It doesn't exist. Really? Yeah, it appears to exist, but it's false. Then Prabhupada would say, okay, it's false, then let me have all your money. Well, wait a minute here. Well, wait, you said it's false. You don't live by your philosophy, my dear sir. You're attached. Anyway, Ashtavakra and, you know, our friend Shankaracharya. Everything is illusion, except for one thing, Brahman. They stress impersonal Brahman effulgence as the cause of everything. No. Interesting is Shankaracharya. This comes in the Pramaya section, by the way. You know, part 2 of Tattvasandarbha. Shankaracharya followed Buddha chronologically or historically. Buddha rejected the Vedas. Shankaracharya accepted the Vedas. And if you accept the Vedas, you have to accept Vyas. And if you accept Vyas, you have to accept Vedanta Sutra. So he gave commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And in his commentary on Vedanta Sutra, he concludes something that Vyas didn't say. You know, that Jagat Mithya, Vyas didn't say that. But Shankara says that he said that. And he says all kinds of things that Vyas said he said, but he didn't say. Just like, you know, Krishna says things in Bhagavad Gita that he didn't say. Krishna says surrender to me, impersonalist. Krishna doesn't mean to surrender to him. He means something else. Here's what he means. Wait a minute, that's cheating. Five. Philosophers following the precepts of Patanjali practice Raja Yoga. What do? They imagine a form of the Absolute within many forms. They imagine, it's interesting jugglery, they imagine a form of the Absolute Truth within many forms. So, you know, a little anecdote. I had some very serious health problems at one time. I started taking Ayurvedic treatment from an Ayurvedic doctor in Bombay. The person who was assisting me was married, lived in Bombay, and it's like a little far away. And his wife wasn't a devotee. He was initiated devotee, and his wife wasn't. She was interested in yoga, so she was like nagging her husband. Wives sometimes do that. She nagged her husband to get her husband to take me to a yoga place, you know, because yoga can heal me. I didn't want to go. She kept nagging. Finally, I relented, so we went. So we went to this really faraway place. It was already far away. And huge, gigantic banyan tree was where the yoga ashram was. And, you know, so I'm in my sannyas dhoti, and they bring me in to where the yoga class is going on. And, you know, it was set up. One man stood up. They were in a circle, and I used to have a heart problem, and I went to all these doctors, and they said, you got to have surgery, and I didn't want to have surgery, and I came to the yoga class, and I got healed. Then he sat down, another guy, you know, I had a da-da-da-da-da, and this, they healed me, you know. You can get healed, too. It was like an advertisement. And then, you know, the head guy wanted to, like, let me in on a secret. He, you know, psst, come here. So he took me over to like a little folding chair was their altar, and a picture of the universal form. He said, see that? It's imaginary. The real deal is the unmanifest within that form. Got it? I didn't get into a conversation with him about it. It wasn't worth it. I said what my conviction is based on what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches. You know, the form of the Supreme is non-material. But okay. So that's those that follow Patanjali. When I was visiting in China, a number of the programs, public programs, were yoga studios. And the Chinese yoga teachers have learned yoga by visiting India, I came to find out. And, you know, there's these pictures of Patanjali yoga. Now, I don't even know if the teacher that they learn from in India really knows what Patanjali says. You know, it's like, you know, it's a promotion of themselves. That's my sense. They don't, I have the sense they don't even know. Because these yoga teachers, they're very happy to have us chant Hare Krishna and speak about Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Well, they have this big poster, Patanjali Yoga. But by the way, Patanjali, it's the process of self-discipline in yoga practice. It's sadhana. No, we do sadhana, but we have a goal of sadhana, and it's not impersonal. Patanjali's is impersonal. So sometimes our Gaudiya Acharyas, sometimes in Prabhupada's purports, he'll refer to, from Patanjali Yoga Sutras, he says such and such. It's taking gold from a filthy place. That's what a Paramahansa can do. Because there are principles of controlling the mind and senses that Patanjali got right. So we give him credit for something he got right, just the application is, you know, it's a sinkhole. Just, you know, reality disappears into the sinkhole. That, you know, you do the sadhana so you can go to nowhere. So that we don't accept. And by the way, Jiva Goswami, I learned this from Radhika Raman, because he extensively studied the Sandarbhas, or portions of the Sandarbhas. Consistently, Jiva Goswami's technique is he does this. He doesn't discredit people. He's not into, you know, taking a stick and smashing people and getting into arguments. He gives credit when somebody gets something right. And he just makes this, the way that he does it is he quotes the first few words, and then quotes the final few words that tells you where the passage begins and ends, and then says, thus it is proved. And he goes on. So, something very interesting, and I'll conclude, this is like review. From Sajjanatoshini, what's that? Sajjanatoshini, we touched on it before. It's a publication that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did, or you know, promoted. And he had his staff present questions and he would give answers. I find this very interesting. So the authority behind the following is Bhaktisiddhanta. A question. Which well-known foreigners followed the six Indian philosophies? You know, those six at the bottom. Those are explanations of the Vedas. Those six. You know, some get it, and one gets it, and the others five don't. Bhaktisiddhanta's answer. There is no doubt that philosophical literature originated in India. Remember that statement that Jiva Goswami made, all philosophies throughout all time and place in all history emanate from the Vedas. So Bhaktisiddhanta is saying similarly. Although there are many kinds of philosophies, they are grossly divided into six categories. Meaning there's grossly means there's subdivisions of those and kind of a mixing of this one and that one. But, you know, generally speaking, six. These six categories of philosophy are known in India as Sat Darshana. These six philosophies are also widely respected in Greece. Bhaktisiddhanta says, through intensive research, Garbe, who is a professor in Greece, has recently ascertained that Aristotle was a disciple of Gotama's philosophy of Nyaya. Thales was the disciple of Kanada's philosophy of Vaisheshika. All six of them. Socrates was a disciple of Jaimini's Mimamsa. Pluto, I think that's Plato, was the disciple of Vyasadeva's Vedanta. Pythagoras, you know, geometry, but he didn't just do geometry, he did all kinds of stuff. He was a philosopher. You know, geometry was something over on the side. Pythagoras was the disciple of Kapila's Sankhya. Not just their ideas are similar. He was a disciple. And Zeno, was the disciple of Patanjali's yoga. Interesting. But for that matter, as going back to something Prabhupada said, there's no new philosophy. It's in these six. And somebody takes something from those six, or mixes and matches them, and comes up with, I got a new philosophy. Okay, there's more, and I'll circulate all of this. Again, Bhakti said, Jaimini rejected devotional service, which is the purport of the Vedas. He was put in charge of Samaveda. What happened to him? He must have gotten in some bad association or something. Okay. So after class, you can come and ask me the question you were asking last night, because I couldn't understand the question. I don't want to take up more time just now. But for the purpose of Tattva Sandarbha, those six at the bottom are points of reference of Mr. Purvapaksha, and the Purvapakshas emanate from them, and Jiva Goswami in Tattva Sandarbha, he doesn't state the Purva Paksha necessarily. Sometimes he does, and sometimes they're unstated. He's addressing them. You know, the silent observer critic is saying things. He knows what they're saying, even they're whispering, and then he addresses it. To firmly establish on the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam, or the authority of the Vedas, what Lord Chaitanya's teachings are. Okay. So that's review number two. We haven't even started this morning's class. That's why I wanted to start at 7:30. A little review, because it's important, it's a little subtle, but anyway, it's important for us to understand. Here's another Purva Paksha message. If we are to accept that the Puranas and Itihasas are Vedic, because if you remember from 15.2, he said, Vijiva Goswami declared, it's done. It's proved. The Veda, the Puranas and Itihasas are Vedic. Not only they're Vedic, they're the fifth Veda. So he did it. And why do we say fifth Veda? He did that too. So, the Purva Paksha fellow speaks this one. If we are to accept that the Puranas and Itihasas are Vedic, how is it that they were spoken by a non-Brahmana? You know, this fellow doesn't give up very easily. So, we heard yesterday, Jiva Goswami presents this understanding that even if you want to take that position, Sutta Goswami, well, the answer is it was the fifth Veda, but Sutta Goswami had the approved by Vyasadeva the privilege of reciting the Itihasas and Puranas. And they are approachable by non-Brahmanas as the holy name. The perfect fruit of the creeper of the entire Vedic Shruti, the Shrutis say, the holy name is the fruit, ripened fruit, perfect fruit. So then he, this wonderful quote from Skanda Purana about the holy name. And then, now, we go to the next Purva Paksha statement. Well, wait a minute. This is review. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.4.25, Sutta Goswami says, very famous verse in ISKCON, this is quoted, Sri Sudra Dvijabandhunam Trayi Na Shruti Gochara Iti Bharatam Akyanam Kripaya Muninam Kritam. Translation. Women laborers and unqualified descendants of the twice born have no access to the Vedas. That's Prabhupada's translation. But let's look at this Sanskrit up here. It's Shruti Gochara. That's the four Vedas. So not everyone has access to these four, but they do have access to five. That's the solution or answer. And then, does he have the right? Yeah, Bharati, Bharatam Akyanam. You remember this word Akya, Akyanam, and Gatas, and so, Upagyata. So Akyanam, Akyanam, Bharatam Akyanam, that's translated by Prabhupada as he compiled Mahabharata. Iti Bharatam Akyanam Kripaya Muninam Kritam. Kritam he compiled. He composed. It's his work. Mahabharata is the work of Vyas. Because it had been, in its proper understanding, had been lost, so he remanifested it. And he was a contemporary of Krishna. He wrote it. He had a lot to do about Mahabharata's composition. And we're going to hear, you know, shortly, Parashramuni says, wow, he did the best job of, no one has ever manifested Mahabharata like Krishna Dvaipaya Vyasa, because he's Vishnu Tattva, he's Krishna. Okay, then the second one is in the same chapter four of Canto 1, text 13. Here's the Sanskrit. Shonaka says to Sutta, Maye Tvam Vishaye Vacham Snatam Anyatra Chandasat, which Prabhupada has translated as, we consider you expert in all subjects except the Vedas. But the Sanskrit is Chandasat. He, Sutta Goswami, was not trained in the four Vedas, specifically even the Chandasat portion of the four Vedas, which is Gayatri Mantra and other Vedic mantras. He was trained in the fifth Veda, the Pranas and Itihasas, which he was placed in charge. So we recognize you as being really qualified in that section of the Vedas, not the Chandasat section of the Vedas. So then the doubting person says, if Sutta Goswami was not expert in the Vedas, yet was being requested to narrate the Puranas, how can the Puranas be part of the Vedas? And the answer is, what he's already done. It's the fifth Veda. And the fifth Veda is part of the original one Veda, that box that had all the mantras in it, that Vyasadeva then divided, separated out. And when he separated them out, he separated out the fifth Veda too. The four Vedas say. Okay? Let's review. Gee whiz, it's already 25 after. I was thinking, I think I'll do it. It won't take too long. Just read these verses. Text 15, those of you who have a book, you can open it. Otherwise, I'm just going to read 15.1 through 15.4, and that completes our review from yesterday evening. Systematic and comprehensive, right? Okay, so 15.1. The Vaya Via Samhita of the Shiva Purana paints the same picture. What's that? That the Puranas are to be understood as from the Vedas and in conjunction with the Vedas. So, quote, the great master, Vyas, condensed the four Vedas. So there's a larger portion, Shalini, there's a larger portion of Yajurveda that he extracted a condensed version from. Yajnavalkya got the more complete version and then it went into the box. But he condensed the four Vedas and divided them into four parts. Because he separated the Vedas into parts, he is called Vedavyas, the Puranas, also the Purana, also was condensed into 400,000 verses, although even today on the planets of the demigods it contains 1 billion. Still part of 15.1, was condensed at samkshiptam, was here implies by him. Vyasa did it. He condensed 15.2. The Puranas have names like Skanda and Agni, but these pertain to persons who spoke them, as do the names of Kataka, meaning the Katha Upanishad, and so on. We covered that. Otherwise, they, the Puranas, are named according to the fixed order in which they were composed. And so when we sometimes hear that the Puranas are not eternal, such statements refer only to their visible manifestation and their appearance. We covered that. Thus we have proved 15.2 in texts 13 through 15.2 that the Itihasas and Puranas are Vedic. Then 15.3, which we just reviewed. Even so, you know, that Purvapaksha fellow saying, well, wait a minute. Even so, persons like Sutta Goswami have the privilege to speak Itihasas and Puranas, just as such persons qualify to chant the name of Sri Krishna, which is the perfect fruit of the creeper of the entire Vedic Shruti, as stated in the Prabhas Kanda Skanda Purana, the, you know, this glorification of the holy name. 15.4. And, as stated in the Vishnu Dharma, we covered this last night, quote, one is considered to have studied the Rig Veda, Yajurveda, Samaveda, and Atharva once he has uttered the two syllables, Hari. Congratulations. Furthermore, the Itihasas and Puranas definitively explain the meaning of the Vedas. Your question. The Itihasas and Puranas explain definitively the meaning of the Vedas as the Vishnu Purana confirms in such verses as this, which means there's more. Quote, on the pretext of writing Mahabharata, Srila Vyasa has revealed the meaning of the Vedas. All the Vedas have a firm foundation in the Puranas. And we heard what that means. What the firm foundation in means two things. There are parts of the Vedas that are really difficult to understand, and the Puranas and Itihasas make them easy to understand without misunderstanding. And there are portions of the Vedas presently missing, and so now we know that which is presently missing, its foundation is in the Itihasas and Puranas. Last from 15 point, well, that's it. Because 15.5 is in our next section, so I'm not going to read that translation. So we covered our topic, you know, multiple times, so because it's multiple times, it helps to get it right. Hopefully. And now we're going to roar on to the next section, which is, okay. Just stepping back, we're closing in on, before the day's over, we're going to finish section two, which is, you know, a major part of the threefold strategy of the whole Sandarbhas. What's that? Srimad Bhagavatam is the best pramana. What's the strategy again? The teaching of Srimad Bhagavatam is the teaching of Lord Chaitanya, therefore the teaching of Lord Chaitanya is the highest. The highest pramana is Srimad Bhagavatam. It's very important, you know, that the Purvapaksha fellow gets, you know, his doubts addressed. But if he's still flapping his arms, we're going to keep moving because, you know, it's important to understand what the pramana reveals, what's the prameya, which is summarized succinctly in Tattva Sandarbha and expanded elaborately in the other five Sandarbhas. Okay. So there's now the subsection of section two, and that is that the Puranas have special importance because of their compiler, Vyasa. Okay, so now here's our friend again, Mr. Purvapaksha. And here's his objection. Our school of thought cannot accommodate the notion that the Itihasas and Puranas have the same source as the Vedas. You know, you've given your nice references, even the Vedas. But I'm sorry, our school just can't permit that. We're stubborn. We view the Puranas and Itihasas as Smriti scriptures written by saintly sages, intended to elucidate the meaning of the Vedas, nothing more. All right. Well, to such a person, here's how we're going to respond. Even if, you know, it's like, Api Chet Sudaracharo, that verse from Bhagavad Gita 9:33, even if, just for argument's sake, we'll just say, all right, we don't agree with you, but all right, if you're going to say that, even if one were to include the Itihasas and Puranas among other Smriti scriptures written by saintly sages to explain the meaning of the Vedas, the Itihasas and Puranas occupy a unique place because of the eminence of their propounder, Śrīla Vyāsadeva, an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. Okay. So there's 15.5 is where it begins. And it starts with a reference in 15.5 from Padma Purana. We're going to hear this shortly, but Padma Purana is one of the Puranas. It's a Mahapurana, and it's in the mode of goodness. It's a Sattvic Purana. So Jiva Goswami states, and then quotes the Padma Purana, we understand that the Itihasas and Puranas are just two types of Shastra, among many which elucidate the meaning of the Vedas. All right. Still, these two are special on account of the special status of their promulgator. Then he gives a bunch of them that start with Padma Purana. Even Brahma and other demigods do not know everything Dwaita Payana Vyas knows. He understands everything known to anyone else, but some things he knows no one else can comprehend. So what's Brahma's position? He's the original living being. He's the first one in the material creation to be born, and he manifests the Vedas from his mouths. Bhagavatam says he first manifested in his heart and then in his mouth because Krishna directly gave. We heard reference earlier. Krishna directly gave. And then Brahma gave. But what Brahma gave, even Brahma doesn't understand some of the things that Krishna Dvaipayana understands. And then this section moves on to 16.1. And I'm going to read 16.1. If you have your book, you can look too. 16.1. Translation. This is an important verse. It's going to be referenced multiple times going further into the text, so listen carefully. It's the Skanda Purana reference. There, these other sages make use of a small collection of items they have carved out from the infinite sky of the mind of Vyas. You know, those other darshan folks. They take advantage of these borrowed ideas like people pick up things discarded from someone's house. Unquote. in the same vein as this statement by Parashar Muni in Vishnu Purana. Quote, then, during the 28th period, what's the 28th period? During the reign of Vaivasvata Manu, during any Manu, there's 71 yuga cycles, and Krishna, Dvaipayana Vyas, and Krishna, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appear during the 28th yuga cycle. So, during the 28th period, the great master of my son Vyasa, the great master my son Vyasa, divided the one Veda, singular, with its four divisions, into four separate books. And just as this brilliant editor arranged into various books the entire text of the Vedas, so have other Vyasas in the past, including me. He was in the 26th yuga cycle. He's one of these Chiranjivas. He lives for a really long time, like, you know, spanning over many yuga cycles. Most people can't do that. Their body gets old and wrinkled and perish. Parashras doesn't. He's a special, there's a certain number of special Chiranjivas. They live for a long time. So, I know what the whole program is. I did it. I did the service. You should know, O best of the Brahmanas, that in each cycle of the four ages, the branches of the Vedas are thus organized by a different Vyasa. But Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, know it well, is the Supreme Lord Narayana himself. Who else on earth, O Maitreya, could be the author of the Mahabharata? I mean, he didn't just like condense it from 60 million to 100,000. He wrote it again. But he didn't like, wasn't creative writing. He, the eternal breathing of Lord Narayana, he tuned into the Narayana channel and manifested it. We heard this from the previous verse. He did the work of a rishi. Okay, so here's our notes from this little section, which indicate these other sages make use of small collections of ideas they have carved out from the infinite sky of the mind of Vyasa. So the infinite sky of the mind of Vyasa is significant because sky in knowledge of the Vedas, sky is the medium for sound. Those of you that have studied Sankhya section of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 26, Akash, or sky, carries sound. Sound is carried through sky. And, you know, people use it all the time. Technology uses it all the time. You've got your little cell phone, and you call a number. Now, when you do that, there's a transmitter. And what does it do? It bounces off a satellite somewhere up there and bounces back. And you, hello, and you hear the voice. Sound is carried through ether or sky. Yes? You know, and the whole thing of television and radio and et cetera, at least, you know, the modern version of it, it's just send up a satellite that receives and then transmits back through sky. And sky is most subtle. Sky is within water and earth. But it's not the earth or the water. I mean, because I spent a lot of time in my childhood swimming. We live by a lake. You know, you dive down and I did this. I remember doing this, so I'm sharing. Take two rocks and go. And you can hear the sound. Or there's a boat going by. And, you know, the sound goes through the water. Because sky is within the water. Or there's water along with sky. It's ether that carries the sound. It's not the water or the earth. It's ether. So the sky of the mind of Vyas is the metaphor, because sky is the medium for sound, which transmits knowledge. And Vyasa's mind, where are we? Okay. Whoops, what happened? Vyasa's mind, oh, we're in the next one. Whoops. Vyasa's mind is the medium for transcendental sound. Transcendental sound. So these other sages took, you know, something from the sky of Vyasa's mind, you know, something that is from Vyasa's writings, the Vedas, and they come up with, you know, gobbledygook sometimes. This means that. Not this means this. This means that. But the Vedas, the sky of Vyasa's mind, is the basis of all kinds of knowledge, material and spiritual, exactly as Jiva Goswami said in a previous verse. Now it's being stated again in different terms. In this case, it's from Skanda Purana. And now we're going on. Parashramuni states in Vishnu Purana, know that Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas is the Supreme Lord Narayana himself. He's Vishnu Tattva, whereas others who are Vyas, like Parashar, are Jiva Tattva. We said this before. No harm in saying it again. This is the uniqueness, the speciality of the promulgator, Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas. Even if you want to take the position, Mr. Purvapaksha, that the Itihas and Puranas, they're, you know, just like, you know, sages that write something about the Vedas. Really, it's the Vedas, not with the sages that write something. If you want to take that position, you can, but please understand, Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas is the same person as the source of the Vedas that you're very fond of. So, you know, be careful. You're going to make some offenses here. Okay. Now, next is, as I promised yesterday evening, here's the reference where Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas appears. It's mentioned in Bhagavatam 12:6:49, and this is in relation to the curse of Gotama. So before we go to the curse of Gotama, we'll just cover what the Sanskrit of... I'll say it. Gotama had a benediction. The benediction was he could produce grain at will. There was a famine. He invited the brahmanas. The brahmanas came. They had something to eat. Famine was over. They wanted to go home. And he, you know, stay a while longer. It became too long. So they tricked him and said, oh, you killed the cow. We can't stay here anymore. The place is contaminated. And when he realized that how they had tricked him, he cursed them. They would lose their knowledge. Which means, to lose knowledge, they lose their character. That's why I use this term, puffy wuffies. Means people that have intellectual acumen but don't have character. Because you have to have character to properly understand the Vedas and be humble and submit yourself to the proper line of authority. But if you're not humble, you don't do that. You go using your intellect in some other way. Getting a flashlight and looking for the sun. The sun discloses itself. Anyway, So they began losing their knowledge. And then the demigods became quite concerned. So the demigods, Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 6 says, due to the curse of Gotama, they went to Lord Vishnu and said, help. So Lord Vishnu said, I'll manifest myself. And so here's the Sanskrit that's found in that verse. Angsa angsa kalaya vibhu. Angsa angsa kalaya vibhu. Angsa, in the word for word, of course this isn't Prabhupada, this is his disciples, but angsa means of his plenary expansion, specifically Sankarshan, that's taken from Sridhar Swami's commentary. Of his plenary expansion, Sankarshan. And then the second, Angsa is said twice. Angsa is of the expansion of Vishnu. And Kalaya is partial expansion. And Vibhu. Vibhu indicates the Supreme Lord, Vishnu. Then the way it's translated in our BBT publication is the Almighty Lord. He was petitioned by Brahma, Shiva, and the demigods. The Almighty Lord, exhibiting a divine spark of a portion of his plenary portion. So it's not a jiva. He expanded himself and as Vishnu Tattva. That's the meaning. Okay. So now, 16.2. And when we're done with this, we've completed our little subsection. 16.2. We're going to read. In the Skanda Purana, it's a different reference, but it's related than 16.1. Lord Narayana generated the original knowledge in this world. It stayed intact through the Kriti Yuga. In Treta Yuga, it became somewhat corrupted. And in Dwarpa Yuga, altogether so. When knowledge had thus gradually turned into ignorance because of Gotama Rishi's curse, still the translation, Skanda Purana, the confused demigods, headed by Brahma and Rudra, went to ask protection from Narayana, the faultless provider of shelter. That personality of Godhead, the greatest of mystics, informed them of what they needed to do, then descended to earth as the son of Parashara from the womb of Satyavati. And so, Lord Hari himself restored the neglected Vedas. So, Mr. Purvapaksha, if you have this idea, well, this is just Smriti, and we don't take it so seriously because it's not the four Vedas, please consider who Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas is. So, the little subtext from this Skanda Purana quote is, and so Lord Hari himself restored the Vedas. He's Narayana himself. And the story of Gotama's curse, which is referred to in Skanda Purana as well as Bhagavatam Canto 12, comes from the Varaha Purana. The whole narration from the Varaha Purana is indicated in Sarvasambhadani. So if you have this book, there's a translation of Sarvasambhadani in the back, and you can find what I'm about to describe. It's also in Bhanu Swami, his presentation translates Sarvasambhadani. You'll find it in either one of those two places. But here's a little summary. You've heard it now. This is fourth or fifth time. Gotama underwent severe austerities to receive a benediction from Lord Brahma, who gave him the benediction. And the benediction was he could produce food. Brahmanas came at his invitation. Famine was over. They wanted to go home. A calf fashioned out of straw was created. They placed it on the path that Gotama used to walk to the place of bathing in the dark of night, early morning. He wasn't a slouch. He got up early before the sun rose. Didn't have a digital alarm clock. He just got up. He's Gotama. And took his bath. On his way to take the bath, he kicked the straw calf. Oh, you killed the cow. We're leaving. Gotama cursed them. So in that Skanda Purana passage, there's this word, Utsana, highlighted in big letters. Utsana. Is that? Oh, Utsana. There it is. Utsana. So the translation of the word Utsana, dictionary definition, several meanings, forgotten, neglected, falling apart, decaying. By his curse, the Vedas, the Brahmana's qualification to understand the Vedas deteriorated. This Utsana. And so they went, the demigods invited Lord Vishnu, please help. He understood the situation. He personally came in his Vishnu Tattva expansion as Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas. That's the end of our section. And we're ready for some comments or questions. Yes. Do we have the microphone? Very good. Right up front here. Right here. The white sweater. Good. Thank you.
Guru Maharaj, can we say that these six darshans are actually there in Vyasa's presentation?
Actually there in where?
Vyasa's presentation in pure form.
Well, if we want to accept what Jiva Goswami wrote, we have to say yes.
In a pure form.
They're distortions of the pure thing, and they took the pure thing and distorted it and came out with gobbledygook. And how do you come up with gobbledygook? Well, you have to have the absolute truth disappear. And you put something else in the place of the absolute truth. That's the gobbledygook. You know, it's the reflection of the real thing. But it's derived from the real thing. Yes.
Thank you.
Just for clarity where we are, so we're at a point where we, Jiva Goswami is explaining or trying to get us to understand that the itihasas and puranas are really important, and perhaps
yes,
even more important than the shrutis.
Exactly.
Then we're going to progress to Srimad Bhagavatam higher than that. The highest of all of that.
Yeah. Actually, that's the next section. What he just did was, what we did this morning was, even if fellows out there say that the itihasas and puranas are smritis composed by sages, you know, but the very next section is what you just said. The puranas are more important than the Vedas. They're not only Vedic, in the fifth Vedas, and even if you've got this, have this other idea that they're just smritis, well, Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, as the promulgator of them, places them above anything else that's smriti. You know, sage is writing something.
So that's the next section.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. You're one of those folks that's an advocate or a student, disciple of, whether you're in Greece or India or, you know, in modern science, you know, mechanistic science person, the promulgator of itihasas and puranas takes precedence over you, my dear sir. Whoever you may be, however many degrees you have, and however many books you write, and however many Nobel Prizes you've won, you're nobody compared to Vyasadeva. So now I have a choice. Nobody, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, promulgator. You write your books, he's writing his books. I'm going to choose.
Many of the references in this and in the previous section come from the Puranas themselves. And does...
Well, he got over that.
Yeah, he mentioned something earlier.
Yeah. Meaning, you know, for those folks that are... They poo-poo the Itihasas and Puranas. If it says it in the Vedas, then we can accept it. And otherwise, you know, it's not... It's poo-poo. But the four Vedas are saying, please don't do that. Because they're as Vedic as we are. They have the same apurusha. It says like over and over. Now he doesn't bother. They can still, you know, have their arms across their chest saying we don't accept. But he's the train's moving.
One last question, Maharaj.
Yeah.
This Gautam Rishi, Muni, is he the same as one who propounds the Naya logic?
Who?
Is this Gautama who cursed the
yes,
Brahma?
Same.
Same person, Nyaya.
Same person.
And he's the husband of Ahalya also. Is that
yeah,
the same person?
From Ramayana. As far as I know, that's my understanding. It's a qualifier. Yes. You have something?
Yes, I
okay.
So, many of the quotes that are given, for example, important quote from Vishnu Purana about how the Puranas are completing the Vedas or the Shruti section. Is there the Sanskrit also available, or they are just because?
Is this a Laukika question
no,
again?
No. I'm asking like, can we also get access to the Sanskrit corresponding to the?
Sure. You have to look them up.
Okay.
I didn't put it in the PowerPoint.
Okay.
And even in the book, he just cites the passage, and that's Jiva Goswami's system. Again, it's not for you and me. His audience is scholars. He just quotes a verse here, two or three Sanskrit words here and there, and scholars know where that's from. Mm-hmm. And that's not us. They didn't have folio with computers. They just had... They were amazing people.
Okay.
So, you'd have to look them up.
Yeah, and now I have another question. One of the Purva Paksha's points was about only Brahmanas having access to the Shrutis.
Yes, to the four.
And there was another point about the Pratiloma versus...
Yes.
Anuloma marriage.
Correct.
So in all those contexts, seems like the Brahmanas are
very elevated
by birth. Although, like according to Bhagavad Gita, we learned that by guna and karma.
It's not just qualification by birth. There's Dvijabandhus, Ashwatthama. Brahmana by birth, but not by qualification. So he's got another category, a Dvijabandhu, unqualified son of a Brahmana. Not qualified. And therefore he couldn't understand the Vedas. He had access to studying them, but he didn't have the qualification to understand them.
Mm-hmm.
So he misused them.
Sringi is another example.
Mm-hmm. His father was very qualified.
Mm-hmm.
But he was lacking character. He didn't know how to properly use this valuable thing. And so he misused it.
Mm-hmm. So my question is that when we hear that Brahmanas, only Brahmanas have access to the Shrutis, are we to understand that those who are coming down in that family and also have that qualification?
Well, let's take our own ISKCON paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically... From the Shrutis, we receive Gayatri Mantra. Brahma Gayatri Mantra and other mantras. And it's for Brahmanas. Now, Somebody can read it in a book. That's not a brahmana, not duly initiated and, you know, thus not twice born. And they can read it and recite it and comment on it and do all kinds of things, like scholars from Europe did. But for us in ISKCON, access to Gayatri Mantra comes from initiation, becoming twice born. And then there's preliminaries before you get twice born. That's chanting the holy name. And then first initiation, and then comes Gayatri initiation. And Gayatri Mantra chanting is not for people that are uninitiated or first initiated. It's for access to that is not by birth, but by qualification. And how to become qualified. Supposing somebody, you know, listen carefully. Supposing someone is born of mother and father that are brahmana, mother, brahmana, father. I had this nice discussion with somebody, it was in Austin, Texas, that was like a university grad student, saying, you know, why do you people, you know, say these things about brahmanas, that in this age of Kali, everyone is born shudra? I said, well, it's stated in scriptures, but here's why it's stated in scriptures. Because, you know, as the answer to the following question, yes or no, and I'll give you a hint, the answer is yes. In order to be a brahmana, you must observe samskaras. There's no question of being a brahmana if you do not observe samskaras. A brahmana observes samskaras. Yes. So what's the first of those samskaras? Garbhadan samskara. Ask yourself, self, do people who are in this modern age, who are of mother and father who are brahmanas, do they observe Garbhadan samskara? He said, oh, I get it. They don't. And so those that don't can't consider themselves to be brahmanas. Because to be a brahmana, you must observe samskaras, starting with. So they do the other ones, but not that one. I mean, not universally, but, you know, brahmanas to observe Gabadan Sangskara is, who does it? It's rare. And then, who's the brahmana that can perform the yajna of Gabadan Sangskara? Who has the qualification to do those properly? Therefore, kalo shudra sambhavam. Now, what's the remedy for that? The Bhagavatam gives the remedy. Bhagavat Katha. And starting with the chanting of the holy name. Namadi. Anukirtanam. Beginning with the chanting of the holy name. That's the Bhagavat Dharma. It qualifies people to hear properly and then receive access to the Shrutis. By qualification. That was Vyasadeva's brilliance. He saw, because he could look into the future and see, oh my goodness, they need something in order to qualify themselves because they're not qualified by these other processes that are necessary for a brahmana. Okay. Over here. Just pass the mic, please. If you can, because there's somebody back there, just stand by and go ahead.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Maharaj. We understand that Itihas and Puranas are part of the fifth Vedas, are part of the Vedas, called fifth Vedas.
We do and understand that, yes.
And so is Mahabharata.
Yes.
So my question is, like in Mahabharata we have the story of Kaurava and Pandava, and also in Puranas we have different stories of different kings.
Yeah.
And we understand that Vedas are eternal. So do we believe that the characters change in different ages, or we have the same Kaurava versus Pandava, for example, as we have in this age?
It's the way that Srila Prabhupada, this is my understanding, the way that Srila Prabhupada has explained it is, the five Pandavas, they're eternal associates of Krishna, meaning, wherever Krishna performs his Bhoma Leela, they're with Krishna. So they're not changing characters, it's those persons that are with Krishna. Then other persons bear the names. They may not be the same jiva soul. This may not be the same Duryodhana jiva. But somebody that plays that function.
So in that sense, even Duryodhana is more like a post actually, and different souls can occupy that position.
Yeah, that's my understanding. And you know, and then here's another. Details, Prabhupada, details may... The theme remains the same, the details may slightly modify.
Okay.
There's some diversity, you know. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. Prabhupada referred to that statement. And therefore, when Krishna performs his pastime, there's some variety. Because he's the supreme enjoyer. But the theme is essentially the same. Is that all right?
Yeah, thanks, Maharaj. Second quick question. We understand we have 400,000 plus 100,000 for Puranas and Mahabharat. Do
yeah.
you know how many verses we have in those four Vedas?
No. I don't know.
I'm over here on the planet.
Do I know? I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
So the original for Puranas and Mahabharata, the original pool is 1 billion. From it became 400,000. Do we know what the original pool for the...
I understand what your question is. You're stating it again. And that the answer is, I don't know. Now, he has heard 10 billion. Okay. Huh? 10 billion. Okay. Well, you know... Were you present for our earlier classes when we went through there's 10 different pramanas?
No,
and
I don't think I'm
so this is Arsha. Burijan said. Now Burijan, so he's a good authority because he's not going to say something unless he knows. You're not, certainly not going to put in a book unless he knows. So, on the authority of Burijan said, and surrender unto me, 10 billion. Okay?
Thank you, Maharaj. Yeah.
Be concise, please.
Yes. Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Actually, I have a question. Actually, Prabhuji already told that thing.
But same question?
Not the same question, a little bit late,
close.
Bit different. Actually, we know that in Brahma...
Hold the microphone close to your mouth. It'll be easier to hear you.
Hello.
Ah.
Yeah, so every Brahma's age is 1,000 yuga cycle, right?
And every day of Brahma, there's 1,000 yuga cycles, right?
Yeah, 1,000. And every yuga cycle has the Mahabharata also?
What's that?
Every yuga cycle has the Mahabharata also?
Sure, why? It's eternal. Mahabharata is eternal.
But you see that every Brahma's days, Krishna only appears once, right?
No, no. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna
yes.
appears once, and the Vyasa, other than this one, 28th Yuga cycle of Vaivasvatamanu, they're jiva souls who are Shaktivesh avatars.
Okay.
No problem. Do you see a problem?
No.
Okay, that's good.
Thank you.
Over here? Oh, okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I want to understand what Shankaracharya's role with respect to the Vedas, because I always get confused.
The second rule?
No, what was his role?
What was Shankaracharya's role?
That's correct. With respect to Vedas.
Oh,
because sometimes we...
Two things. Prabhupada speaks. Two things. One, he kept offenders in Kali Yuga far away. They had a place to hang out. You know, Siberia Loka or something. Way far from Krishna. They huddled around this ideology that Shankara gave them. He kept them away from Krishna. That was the purpose. He bewildered the minds of the atheistic class by taking... So, and Second, in relation to the Vedas specifically, for Krishna's purpose, he had the appearance of Lord Buddha come, who rejected the Vedas. He restored the Vedas. And then, which means, he then, Shankaracharya, paved the way by restoring the Vedas for the subsequent four Vaishnavacharyas to take the Vedas and render them with a Supreme Person at the center. You know, the source of everything, the absolute truth, is the Supreme Person, Bhagavan. Now they had different vadas or doctrines of how that is so, but on the authority of the Vedas, unlike Shankaracharya where Bhagavan disappeared, on the authority of the Vedas, Bhagavan appeared or was revealed through their commentary. And that work, in turn, paved the way for Chaitanya, from our perspective, for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come and unite them all under his Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva philosophy and expounding the glories of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's a function that Shankaracharya performed in relation to the Vedas.
And why was Lord Buddha required to take the people away from the Vedas?
Well, it's Kali Yuga. Do you have children?
Yeah.
Do you sometimes permit your children to do something you really don't want them to do? Parents, you know. Yeah? So like that.
No, yeah.
The Supreme Lord did that because it's Kali Yuga, you know, to advance Kali Yuga. He did that. And one of the things with, you know, Shankaracharya bringing in Buddhism-like teachings and calling it, you know, it's based upon the Vedas. One of the things is that he increased the population, demoniac population, by doing what he did. You know, it accelerates Kali Yuga. But it gives people in this age that are averse to the Supreme Personality. They don't want to sarva dharmam paridhyajamam ekam shananam braja. Forget it. So they have a place to go. Instead of just being, you know, degraded. They got to be sense-controlled sannyasis to be a shankar, a follower. Right?
Correct.
And to be a Buddhist, you have to be sense-controlled. You know, so hedonism has an antidote. So there's something for those people that don't want to surrender to Krishna, but they can then be sense-controlled and think that's spiritual. Got it?
Yes.
That's the purpose. That's or a purpose.
Thank you, Maharaj.
It's certainly not the highest thing. So why did Krishna do something other? Why did Vyasadeva write the Vedas other than one thing, surrender to Krishna? And because some people aren't going to do that. That's why we come to the material world. So he gave them something so they could elevate themselves. One of the Karmakanda rituals of the Vedas. Similar. To elevate out of compassion. So Buddha did what he did and Shankara did what he did. On the order of Krishna, they did what they did. Let's get the people that haven't spoken.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, you had mentioned that...
You're being very kind and speaking slowly.
Yes, Maharaj. You had mentioned that Dvaipanya Vyas is actually Lord Narayan himself.
I mentioned it because I just read the quote that it says
right,
that.
Right.
Parashar Muni says it. He's Narayana himself.
Right. But the other Vyasas are empowered Jivas, and I was wondering why they aren't Lord Narayan himself as well.
Because Krishna isn't stuck. He's not a cookie-cutter Lord. He can do things in different ways. And Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas came because of Gotama's curse. Now, if he wanted, he could have had a Jiva empowered to do that. But he came himself. And the other ages, apparently that curse of Gotama is not you know, active or operative. And so he empowers a jiva to do. Is that all right?
But would that dilute the authority of the scriptures? I mean, would that dilute the authority of the scriptures if there's an empowered jiva and not Lord Narayan himself? Or it's the same thing?
I don't understand your question.
Oh, sorry, Maharaj.
Do you understand her question? Could you say it? Yeah. In the other cases, it's an empowered jiva. Would it make a difference as to the authenticity? No. Like, for example, Parashramuni. He was a Vyas. He was authentic. But he's going, wow, the Mahabharata of Krishna Dvaipayana of Vyas. Out of sight. Better than what I did. Doesn't mean the one that he did wasn't authentic. It's something like Shukadeva Goswami speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. Now who was in the audience? We're going to hear this. Coming attractions. Vyasadeva, the father of Shukadeva, sat at his feet. His spiritual master sat at his feet, and the spiritual master of his spiritual master, Narada Muni, sat at his feet and heard him. They were going, wow. This is the best. It's not a different Srimad Bhagavatam than what Shukadeva heard from his father. And how did Vyas get it? From the instruction of Narada, who received it from Brahma, who received it from Narayana, or Krishna. Not a different Bhagavatam. But when Shukadeva Goswami spoke it, wow. Similarly, when Vyasadeva presents Mahabharata, Parashramuni is going, wow. He's Narayan himself.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Anything else from the ladies' side? You always have a nice question. You have one? No? Okay. Okay, here and then two more, we're done.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. I just want to clarify to see if my understanding is clear. Yesterday, you mentioned how Jiva Goswami, he quotes from Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad.
He quotes from?
Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad, okay. And Chandogya Upanishad.
Yeah.
To establish that Puranas and Itihasas are the fifth Veda.
Yes.
And
or that they have a Purusheya source. Because the previous section is Purusheya Shabda is fallible. These have a Purusheya source. They're not fallible like those other sources.
And then later he quotes extensively from the Puranas themselves. Similar
That's
to
correct.
What
well, you've understood is correct.
Yamuna Jivan Prabhu said. But since the source is Apaurusheya Shabda, that is because it seems like a circular logic that you mentioned yesterday.
I'm trying to understand what your question is. Why is it circular logic?
Like we are quoting from the Puranas to establish that the Vedas, the Puranas and Itihasas are the fifth Veda.
No.
Like you mentioned yesterday.
I understand what circular reasoning is. Now I understand your question.
Sure.
In sequence, he does make some Puranic references, the Supreme Court message is the Vedas themselves say. So once the Vedas themselves say, and it's not just those two, I gave a whole series, ityadi. There's many and there's more than what we showed on the screen. The Vedas say, they're Vedic, itihasa purana. Once that's established, not just one quote, but multiple quotes, he doesn't have to go back and, you know, be apologetic for quoting that which is Vedic. The train is moving. It's not circular. Now, the circular part that we touched on was, well, how do we know that the four Vedas have a Purusheya source? The circular is, well, they say so. Like, I'm the king of New Jersey. How do I know that you're the king of New Jersey? Well, I say so. That's circular reasoning. So one might object. The Vedas say they have a Purusheya source. How do we know that they have a Purusheya source? So we have these other... And there's an element of faith involved in saying they have a Purusheya source. There's some people that don't have that faith and they say, ain't so. I don't accept it. And therefore, since I don't accept it, I'm looking for some other way of pramana. So I'll go to Nyaya and say, you know, there's systems of logic where we can accept something as truth. And then there's someone that says, well, I don't accept logic because there aren't even things to be logical about. I've got another pramana, etc. So with reason and logic, the Vedas are accepted. You know, there's compelling reasons. You know, like for example, the existence of the soul. How do you prove the existence of the soul? Well, there's evidence. Empiric evidence. Although no one has seen a soul, there's empiric evidence that there is. You know, this and that and the other thing through, you know, empiric evaluation, modern science, studying things, past life remembrances and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's not proof. How do you prove something? Okay. You have something and then we're done. Up front.
Guru Maharaj, how do these Karma Mimamsa philosophers define what is good? Because
it's arbitrary.
It seems like it's highly relative.
Yeah. That's why I call them puffy wuffies. I decide what's good. Or, you know, common sense decides what's good. But, you know, somebody else, that's not common sense. Something else is common sense. Like, you know, take jihad. It's good. I go to heaven. I'm doing the work of Allah. It's good. Otherwise, why would people blow themselves up? It's good. That's my conviction. It's good. Is it stated in the Quran? No. Well, it's good anyways because it's my conviction. It's good. It's quite arbitrary. You know, the modes of nature are very active. Guna and karma are very active in this realm. You know, so yes, it's arbitrary, karma mimamsa.
So does Jaimini admit that?
Huh?
Does Jaimini admit that?
We can admit that. Can they admit it? I don't know if they can admit it. I haven't met one of those guys. I don't know the doctrine well enough to say, you know, what's the bottom line for them. Okay. Last question.
Maharaj, when we are talking about the Puranas and Itihasas being part of the fifth Veda, so my understanding is these are the 18 Puranas and 2 Itihasas like Mahabharata and Ramayana, or are there more to add to the list?
Are there more?
What is the complete list of Puranas and Itihasas that form the fifth
Veda? We're going to show it on the screen coming up. the Vishnu Purana, I believe, Vishnu Purana, Padma Purana, one or the other, they list them coming up. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. We're going to resume at 20 minutes before 11?